every episode of this podcast is about true things that have happened at some point or another on this planet. Each episode is different than the next, and they are each centered around stories that are odd, outlandish, or of the occult. This podcast will include foul language. This podcast may also include themes of graphic content such as murder, rape, or gore. Listener's discretion is advised.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back. We took a week off, but now we are here and ready to inject you with fear. Just kidding. I don't know how to be scary. Anyways, this is Seven Circles, and I am Autumn, and this is...
Scary Ass Dan. Really, I'll inject you with all the fear. You'll be overflowing with fear and other bodily fluids.
Gross! Today we have a story for you that is partially true and partially myth. I say myth here, but I want to be clear of the definition of the word itself. The dictionary defines this word as a traditional story, especially one concerning the early history of a people or explaining some natural or social phenomenon, and typically involving supernatural beings or events. For a very long time, most of the people on this planet have believed that UFOs and aliens are not real things. That they are, in fact, a hoax or a myth, or even at times in history, a mass hallucination caused by mass hysteria, or mass hysteria caused by a mass hallucination. And for a very long time, those governments that are in charge of the people on this planet have, in fact, helped perpetuate the idea that we are the only species of intelligent life in this whole ass universe, and there could not possibly be any other smart life anywhere at all. It is incredibly naive to believe this. Our universe is fucking huge. It's so big that most of you could not even conceive of the sheer amount of space that is out there in, well, space.
Although many older civilizations have, kinda, believed in UFOs and aliens, inasmuch as, if you believe it, they witnessed them and revered them as gods, or were even put there by them. I can only hope you'll be talking about Erich von Däniken in this episode, Autumn. Chariots of the Gods and all that.
I don't know what that means.
We're off to a good start, then.
Yeah, I forgot where I was going to go with that. Okay, so yeah, Egyptians, pyramids, those are things that people sometimes think that aliens had a hand in making the pyramids, right?
So insightful.
Yeah.
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 Pyramids!
Egyptians!
Egyptians! Cats! Pharaohs!
Okay. So...
Mummies!
Are you my mummy?
Sarcophagi!
Aliens.
Anal.
So, how big is the universe? Well... The observable universe is currently 93 billion light years across. So, a light year is a measure of distance, not time. It is the total distance that a beam of light moving in a straight line travels in 1 year.
I guess beam of light or a photon. Anywho, and the speed of light is...
16.7.
So close. It's approximately 670,616,629 miles per hour in a vacuum.
Like a Kirby?
What?
Or a Dyson?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that.
Oh, are you speaking of a space vacuum?
I mean, a space that is devoid of air. Yes.
Okay.
Which space happens to be one of. Although, I don't think space is a perfect vacuum. Anyway, that's really besides the point.
So, one light year is equal to about 9.5 trillion kilometers.
Oh, we're going metric? So, the speed of light is about 1,079,252,848.8 kilometers per hour. Just in case you were wondering.
1,079,252,848 kilometers per hour?
Oh, you actually said it right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I am terrible at math, but I know enough now at this point to kind of understand how big the observable universe is. Kind of.
Honestly, I'm just impressed that the known universe can contain all that it does, alongside your mama's ass.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
1991.
Is 1991 calling to get its mama jokes back?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, you're in store for a fun episode then, 1991.
Uh-oh.
So, knowing and believing how much space is out there makes it hard to fathom that we, us, you, are the only sentient life in this whole ass universe. I mean, we might be. It's unlikely, but if we are the only sentient life in the whole universe, then wouldn't that be kind of sad and lonely?
By we, you don't just mean we as in, like, Homo sapiens, right? Because there are literally other sentient life forms on Earth.
Yeah, like the dolphins and shit. I know, Daniel. God.
Dolphins? I mean, yeah, I guess they're one of them. I'm surprised that was your go-to, though.
What's your go-to?
Well, I know, you just went straight to the sea instead of, like, other mammals. I'm just somewhat impressed, I suppose.
I mean, sure.
Are you talking about, like, monkeys and shit that throw their own shit and eat it?
Monkeys? No, I'd be talking about apes.
Oh, apes.
But if you don't want to distinguish because... American education, then, yeah.
Yeah.
Monkeys, yes, monkeys. Monkeys from which we evolved.
We evolved from... But not everybody believes that we evolved from, you know, chimpanzees and shit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we could have evolved from aliens.
I mean, I guess we'll get to that shortly.
Will we?
Well, I mean, I will, because you neglected to put it in the script.
Well, I didn't want to talk about aliens.
I know. So... Yeah, dolphins. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dolphins. Yeah.
They're horny.
What?
I don't know. Dolphins are super horny animals.
I mean, and in as much as they experience horniness,
yeah.
Or you find them horny?
Oh, no, I don't find them horny.
Because, I mean, you know that you get those weird people, right, that go swimming with dolphins, and then they're kind of having all this weird cuddling, and it's like, I bet it's super smooth and slick to rub your genitals on, but I just don't know if that's okay.
Like that episode of King of the Hill where Hank Hill goes swimming with the dolphins, and he's like, oh!
I haven't, but I do always really enjoy your Hank Hill impersonations. Anyway, so yeah, blowholes. But please just carry on with the episode.
We just went on a whole tangent. Okay, where were we?
Hold on. This is super interesting now. I mean, we're so far off script. And we will actually get to the whole point of this episode very soon. But dolphins. I mean, if any creatures on this earth might be alien, it's surely like octopus and dolphins and shit, right?
Yeah.
Dolphins are super crazy smart.
Yeah.
Do you think they're here to spy on us? Are they alien spy folks?
Yes, they are alien spy folks.
Yeah. What about the octopus?
I don't know. Let's save that for another episode, okay?
Oh, but they have so many suckers.
Tentacles.
Yeah.
Okay.
So today we are going to talk about the United States government and how they have gaslighted us this entire time about UFOs.
Gaslit?
Gaslighted, gaslit, potato, tomato.
Oh no, I don't know. It's one of those new verbs that may well be gaslighted.
So yeah, the government's been gaslighting us about UFOs. And for a very long time, there have been little pockets of humanity all over this planet who have claimed to see UFOs for real. Some of them have even claimed to be abducted. But we are not here to talk about abductions today. Nope. No aliens. Just their transport.
So we don't get to talk about your intense phobia of humanoid aliens like greys. We don't get to talk about that movie, Fire in the Sky, that makes you whimper like a scared little puppy.
Not today, Daniel.
Oh, but can we?
No.
Oh, but that scene at the end where they're like floating through the spacecraft and there's the big creepy looking kind of manatee-esque aliens floating around touching them.
Puppies and kittens and marshmallow whiskers.
Marshmallow whiskers?
I don't know. Anything but the aliens, okay?
So, for a very long time, our governments have been shutting these ideas down, one after the next. And civilians who believe in our leaders helped them to silence those who spoke out about UFOs by calling them crackpot and crazy and kooky. Thusly, the whole idea of life on another planet coming to visit us was greatly stigmatized.
There ain't no goddamn alien, son! You been smoking that reefer again?
Well, yeah, I have, Papa, but that ain't got nothing to do with them lights in the sky.
What lights? Holy fuck, look at those!
They're coming for your butthole, Papa.
No, not my precious, beautiful butthole!
Come here, Papa, I'll spit on it.
Back on track. Recently, though, the U.S. government has come out and stated that there are, in fact, UFOs.
But surely all that means is there are flying objects that the USA cannot identify. Like, going by their track record with good intel, Russia or China might be flying some crazy shit we don't know about. I could shit on a pancake and play frisbee with it, and America would open a classified report to investigate whether it's mud or Nutella.
And we'll get to that in a little bit. Not the shit and the pancake, but the other stuff you just spoke about.
Shit and pancakes. I saw a video like that once on the internet, I think.
Okay, we will not talk about them.
What was that sound? That was like, shit on a pancake. Nom, nom, nom.
I don't like it.
It just sounded like you were just scarfing it up. Like, nom, 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 nom. Shitty pancake. Nom, 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 nom.
No.
Like, do you just want it straight up, kind of coiled on there, or do you want me to, like, roll it up, fold it over?
Stop. Okay.
Oh, wait. No, wait. I could make you some crap crepes. Here you go, Autumn. I made you some crap crepes.
It hurts.
There's tears. She's falling off her chair.
Okay. Pull it together.
So yeah, it's definitely not mud or Nutella. It's definitely fecal matter.
So yeah, the fact that the United States government has come out and stated that UFOs are real is very exciting and pretty progressive of them.
America the progressive.
So, we will go into detail about what kind of information the government has released. But first, let's go into a bit of history on the whole subject. There is an Egyptian papyrus that the pharaoh Thutmose III scribed that fiery disks were encountered floating over the skies. This was called the Thule Papyrus and is said to be from 1440 BC.
So, fiery disks, that would be the sun, right?
Plural. So, many suns in the sky?
Maybe if you look at it for a second and then just blink a load.
I mean, if you actually look at the papyrus, it looks like flying saucers in the sky.
Oh, you've looked at the papyrus?
Yes, I've looked at the papyrus.
Papyrus?
There are many reports of ancient Romans seeing UFOs between the years of 218 BC and 196 AD. In the 740s, in Ireland, several authors of Irish annals.
Anals?
Annals.
Anals? I've had some Irish anal.
Good for you! So the annals are like a record.
And her.
So the annals are like a record of the Irish history, and several report having seen ships in the sky.
Dicks in the ass.
In the 16th and 17th centuries, we had Romans, Swiss, Koreans, and Hungarians all reporting UFO sightings. Between 1803 and 1897, Japan, Mexico, and the United States all have documented reports of UFO sightings.
I mean, surely other countries too.
Even the Christian Bible has mentions of UFO-like things. This is from Ezekiel.
As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it were gleaming metal. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had a human likeness.
So I thought you were going to go, like, full-on SLJ there, man. Like, that's a tasty burger. Anyway, this one's from Zechariah.
Again I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, a flying scroll. And he said to me, what do you see? I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, and its width is 10 cubits. Girthy scroll.
Man, sometimes I read shit from the Bible like this, and I'm like, maybe I should just go and read it. Like, just for the comedy value. What a complete load of fucking nonsense. What is a cubit?
What is a cubit?
And
tell us, please, listeners.
And how big was this flying scroll? I don't know what a cubit is. 20 cubits and by 10 cubits? How many cubits do you think a kicked baby is?
At least 17.
Okay. Cool.
And this is from 2 Kings.
And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
Having said all that, there's a bunch of passages in the Bible that could be interpreted as aliens or UFOs. Mentions of chariots of God flying around, and even Jesus said,
yo, I'm not of this world, man.
Is that how he said it?
Yes.
Cool.
No, he's like, I am not of this world. Give me a water. I will make wine. So yeah, when I say the words very long time, this is what I meant.
So the aforementioned Erich von Däniken wrote many books on the subject of aliens and UFOs, one of which was in fact entitled Chariots of the Gods. In it, he speaks a lot about the likes of the lines of Nazca, which are hundreds of miles long and yet perfectly straight, even taking into account the curvature of the Earth, and many suppose might be a map when viewed from above, or even signs allowing alien craft to navigate and land here.
Ancient landing pad.
Yes, Autumn. He also looks at early cave drawings around the world that appear to depict people wearing helmets or space gear, although the latter could of course be crowns or headdresses of some kind.
I don't know, man. I've seen some of those, and they look like seriously look like space helmets.
Space helmets, indeed. Yeah, but then if you look at like the Aztecs and those kind of guys, the shit that they had on their head, probably made of like bones and shizzle. I don't know. Anyway, then of course there are Foo Fighters, the orbs of light that would fly in formation alongside fighters and bombers in World War II, undetectable by ground or airborne radar.
When he said, did you write about the Foo Fighters? I was like, what the hell does Dave Grohl have to do with aliens, man?
Yeah, that's the depth of research that Autumn does for these. Uh-huh. It's undeniably excellent.
I mean, I have a muggle job. If you just let me quit my muggle job and do this full time, I can do much better and try harder.
So it's 1947, just a couple years after the war. There are over 300 claims of UFO sightings during this entire year. Among these claims is the Roswell incident. It's June 14th. Something flew out of the sky and crashed into the earth at a place called Foster Ranch. This ranch was located just northwest of Roswell, New Mexico. Hundreds of people from all around came to see the crash site. Most of them saw the fire in the sky drop down into the field, so they had to come check it out. What else was there to do in 1947?
Irish anal?
Dan, how much do you know about the Roswell incident, considering you didn't live in America for a very long time?
Mulder and Scully? X-Files? But no, seriously, I mean, I know that there's Area 51 nearby, and that's where the remains and the debris was taken and all that kind of jazz, okay. But I don't really know much more than that. I have known more, and I've been told much more. My buddy Mark in England, super into all this kind of shit. I mean, okay. He would have been a great guest on this episode. He'd have told us all about it. But, yeah, I don't know that much.
Okay.
I was curious to find out if British people knew anything about it.
Yes, things that happen in America are known to people outside of America, yes, if that answers your question.
Oh, because things that happen outside of America are not really well known to Americans.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
I know. But,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I digress. Okay. From June 14th all the way to July 4th, civilians would come and scope out the wreckage. So for 3 weeks, this unidentified wreckage was just chilling in the field. Until finally, on July 4th, a rancher called Mac Brazel went over to the crash site to gather some of the debris and kind of clean up the area. On July 7th, Mac takes some of the debris to Sheriff George Wilcox. Sheriff Wilcox then contacts Colonel Butch Blanchard at Roswell Army Airfield. This Air Force base was a big deal. It was home to the 509th Bombardment Group. They were the ones who were in charge of the atomic bombs during this time. So Colonel Butch takes a look at the debris and then calls up his boss, General Roger W. Ramey. General Ramey then calls up his intelligence officer, Major Jesse Marcel. And this was the chain of command that the debris from the crash site went up. On up that ladder of military folks.
So Colonel Butch, General Ramey, and Major Jesse all head over to the crash site to investigate. I guess this was their first time hearing about it, even though it had happened weeks ago in a small town, and all of the townspeople knew about it. As far as we could tell, the Roswell Army Airfield was only like 10 miles away from downtown Roswell. So I don't understand why the people at the airfield didn't know about the crash. Surely someone on the base must have seen something the night it crashed, or at least heard gossip about it around town. Not to mention radar and the like, which frankly just points the finger for the whole thing squarely back at the airbase in the US, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's super sus.
Super sus. So, the men arrive at the site and poke around a bit. Just they just show up and they're like poking, like they have a stick and they're poking the big metal fragments with the stick.
Oh, that's weird, because that's kind of what the aliens came here to do as well, isn't it? To poke around a bit.
Poke around a bit. Papaw, your butthole. So, intelligence officer Major Jesse tells Colonel Butch, he's like,
"Yeah, this is clearly an unknown aircraft. I cannot identify it."
And Colonel Butch calls up this other guy named Lieutenant Walter Hout. Walter was in charge of, like, public relations and shit like that. So Butch tells Hout, he's like,
"Issue a press release stating that we found a UFO."
And so they did. At this point, it's unclear whether or not the big boss, General Ramey, authorized this or not. He denied authorizing this initial press release, but he said that he did leave the decision up to Colonel Butch because he was the first one at the base that was contacted about the whole issue. During the press release, they straight up told everyone that they found a UFO. They specifically called it a flying saucer. And this was printed in many newspapers. Not the fake ones, the real ones. So this was kind of a big deal. So the newspapers go out in the morning, and by that evening, the Air Force had changed their story.
But at the same time, began the UFO madness the US would see throughout the 50s, 60s, and, well, forever, really. You're a gullible bunch, ain't you?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Who's a gullible bunch? Oh, you are.
Are you implying that the United States alone is gullible because we're the only ones who have ever witnessed or saw a UFO right now? Are you doing that right now?
I mean, no, but I think it's fairly safe to say that there's a higher number or a higher proportion of alien crackpots in America than perhaps there are around the rest of the world.
No,
first of all...
Or just crackpots in general, but certainly alien ones.
Okay.
And flat earther ones.
Alrighty. And
any other nonsensical
you
theory.
Are definitely Scully.
Yes.
Yes.
Ginger and sexy.
Yeah. And I am definitely Mulder.
Yes. Big nose. Funny looking.
I don't have a big nose, though. It's so small.
Your nose is so tiny. It's like it's barely there. You remember those news reports you used to see when you were little of like kids who had been attacked by Rottweilers and stuff?
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's like, there's just no nose there at all. It's fucking weird, man. Come here, let me boop you on your non-existent nose.
I can't find it.
Where is it?
Okay, we digress. So General Roger W. Ramey came out and was like,
"Send all of the crash debris to my office in Fort Worth, Texas."
This is where he and his personal staff inspected the debris further. And this is when they held another press release saying,
"This was not a flying saucer. It was a weather balloon."
They also release a photo that was taken in General Ramey's office. They have what appears to be a space blanket all shredded up on the floor in front of them.
Do you think we need to explain what a space blanket is to our listeners? I mean, given the fact you felt a need to explain to people what a fucking Polaroid was, do we need to tell people what a space blanket is? Autumn, do you want to tell the listeners?
Imagine a giant piece of aluminum foil that's warm and soft, but it looks like foil.
I mean, soft, yeah. Soft as in it's flexible, yeah. Basically, you take it up into the mountains in like the Himalayas and you have a space blanket sleeping bag and it's super warm and reflects heat back at you and all that kind of jazz. Science. Anywho.
Anywho. So the Air Force even forced Rancher Brazel, who initially found the crash debris, they made him tell the press that he was wrong and the debris he found was actually rubber strips, tinfoil, tough paper, and sticks.
Space paper!
Like, what the hell? I do not believe that Rancher Brazel or anyone with half a damn brain would find some paper and sticks laying about and feel the need to take the items to the sheriff. And the sheriff looked at the tinfoil and rubber was like,
"Well, we better call the damn Air Force. This is mighty suspect."
No, just no. And this pile of sticks and paper traveled up the chain of command all the way.
To God? Kind of smart of the UFO, though, to make itself get taken back to another UFO.
God is an alien.
There you fucking go.
We did it.
Yeah, just floating around up there looking all alien-y and shit.
Yeah. And that was it. The world, mostly, just took the word of General Ramey and forgot about the incident.
So, it's 1978. This guy called Stanton Friedman is super into researching UFOs. It's also very much worth mentioning that he was a nuclear physicist, just in terms of adding a little credence. He interviewed Major Jesse Marcel. Remember, he was the intelligence officer at Roswell who initially gave the green light to do the press release, stating that the crash was a flying saucer, or flying paper plate, whatever the fuck it was. In this interview, he revealed that he still believed that the wreckage was what he said it was. It was not a weather balloon. An intelligence officer would know the difference, right? This is a direct quote from Major Jesse.
"It felt like you had nothing in your hands."
Regarding the metal that was found at the crash site.
"It wasn't any thicker than the foil out of a pack of cigarettes. But the thing about it that got me is that you couldn't even bend it. You couldn't dent it. Even a sledgehammer would bounce off of it. I knew that I had never seen anything like that before."
This sledgehammer-wielding fella went on to say,
"It was not anything from this earth. That much I am quite sure of. Being an intelligence officer, I was familiar with just about all materials used in aircraft and or air travel. This was nothing like that. It could not have been."
So Stanton Friedman went on to interview more witnesses. He interviewed Colonel Butch, Sheriff Wilcox, Rancher Brazel, and Lieutenant Hout. After these interviews, Friedman concluded that there had been a cover-up involving both the military and civilians. He called it Cosmic Watergate.
Catchy. Couldn't just call it Cosmic Gate or Space Gate.
Space Gate. The final frontier. There are reports from civilian witnesses that they saw little bodies at the crash site, around 4 feet tall. But we are not going to talk about the aliens.
Because you're scared.
No, we're just going to leave that for another episode, Dan.
You're just so scared of the little alien guys.
In 1994, the U.S. Air Force released a report admitting that there was an actual cover-up. In this report, they stated that it was a cover-up of a top-secret military operation. So by 1994, a lot of civilians were on the Roswell case, and they were like,
there is no way that this was a weather balloon. We want the truth.
So the Air Force was like, okay, here you go. Here is a new story explaining Roswell. It was not aliens, though, so shut up. But it was a weather balloon. Haha, tricked you. It was a special weather balloon called Project Mogul. Project Mogul was classified, so we had to cover up that with a story about a weather balloon.
It was marginally more interesting and marginally less silly than that, though not by much. Project Mogul involved microphones being attached to weather balloons in order to detect the sound from Soviet nuclear tests.
True story. In 1995, another report came out called The Roswell Report, Fact versus Fiction in the New Mexico Desert. Now, this report was an audit. The government went through all of the documents and data and shit and wrote this report based on their findings. They determined that the debris found in 1947 was from a balloon used in Project Mogul and found no evidence of aliens.
So the bodies were dwarves? Kids? Guess you need to save weight on your pilots when you're just ballooning.
There were no bodies. Yeah, we'll get to that later with the pilots and the ballooning. Also, I want to mention that 1994 and 1995 was when the show The X-Files was actually really, really popular. So maybe they put those reports out to just kind of like help debunk that a little bit. Anyways, so in that audit, they were going over all the stuff that General Ramey allowed to be put out there. Remember, he had everything sent to his personal office in Texas and had his own personal team go over all the evidence. So who's to say what they did to cover this up?
In 1997, another report was released titled The Roswell Report, Case Closed. In this report, they felt the need to explain the alien bodies that have been rumored to be found at the site. They said that they were latex or plastic dummies that were being used in parachuting drills. Those could have been mistaken for alien bodies. Sure, they totally could. But in the report, they say that these kinds of tests were being done in the 1950s. But the Roswell incident occurred in 1947. So, like, why? Why even try to put this in the report? Also, the witnesses at Roswell claimed that the bodies were like 4 feet tall. The dummies used in these parachute drops were 6 feet tall. One other thing worth noting from this report is that upon requesting records from the 1947 incident, it was found that all records from that time, from January to October 1947, had been destroyed. They don't know who destroyed these files.
Dun, dun, dun!
Dun, dun, dun!
Okay, so, Roswell was a big deal. And for a very long time, certain people have known the truth. And they have been called conspiracy theorists for a very long time. And the amount of eyewitness testimony from the event was in the hundreds. A lot of these witnesses have passed away since the event, and a lot of them, on their deathbed, still swore that they saw what they saw. Okay, Dan, trivia question. Where did the U.S. first test the atomic bomb?
Oh, I don't recall the exact name of the site. Probably not far from all this other stuff, though. It was codenamed Trinity, part of the Manhattan Project, right?
Yeah, they tested it in the middle of the New Mexico desert, actually.
Yeah, which is exactly where all this other shit's going down, right?
Well, not exactly, but not too far off.
Yeah, and there's still, like, a shit ton of after effects from it all, right? There's still a way higher rate of cancer and all that kind of jazz in that area.
And that's how they got the idea for the film called The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh, is that what their problem was?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, at least they had fun in the end, right?
In the end.
Yeah.
So now it's 2022. The United States government has finally decided to come out and say that UFOs do exist. Kinda.
I can't wait for the day when the United States government just comes out. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
When the United States government is just cool with gay folks.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting there.
So they call them UAPs now. So that's what we're going to do from here on out, is call them UAPs. This way, we can get used to using that instead of UFO. Unidentified flying objects, or UFO, has been stigmatized for a very long time. So the US government went ahead and did some word changes. They both mean the same damn thing, though. UAP stands for Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. Same shit, different acronym.
I'm just gonna call them WAPs.
WAPs. That's a fun word.
So on May 17th, 2022, Congress held their first hearing about UFOs, or UAPs.
WAPs.
In more than 50 years. UAPs.
WAPs.
UAPs were just never seriously talked about openly in the government for that long.
I'm not surprised. They're called WAPs. As of this recording, this hearing just occurred a few weeks ago. So this is fresh news, sorta.
The Deputy Director of Naval Intelligence, Scott W. Bray, spoke about an official report that was released last year from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. This is a task force responsible for studying the phenomena. They said its database has grown to approximately 400 reports of unidentifiable objects. Bray said that they received a rise in reports because people have become more comfortable in sharing these encounters seen in the sky. He also said that since the early 2000s, the U.S. has seen an increasing number of unauthorized and/or unidentified aircraft or objects in military-controlled training areas and other designated airspace.
Makes sense. Look at the types of drone technology available to the public. What makes you think other government agencies don't have things far superior still to spy on one another with?
Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to that in a second. To expand the government's efforts to study these unidentifiable objects, the Pentagon is establishing an office within the office of the Secretary of Defense. They are creating a Mulder-Scully department.
Tell me their database of approximately 400 reports is called the X-Files.
I really want it to be, but once again, the X-Files was kind of stigmatized. If you actually watched the show, everybody made fun of Mulder and Scully constantly.
Who? When? What? In the show or the viewers?
Yeah, everybody in the show.
Oh yeah, well fuck those cunts.
So the official report about UAPs is on the internet. You can go read all 9 of its pages. But you don't have to. We did the work for you and we're going to break it down for you here at 7 Circles.
Yay!
This report was released on the 25th of June, 2021. The first paragraph talks about the body of the report being an intelligence assessment of the threat posed by unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAP.
Whoops!
The executive summary states that there is a limited amount of high-quality reporting on UAPs that hampers our ability to draw firm conclusions of the nature or intent of UAP. They concluded in the summary that they required a unique tailored reporting process to provide sufficient data for UAP events. So basically they're like,
yeah, this stuff happens all of the time and there have been people from the military reporting on this, and because of the stigma surrounding UFOs, people have just not been taken seriously.
Yeah, but they don't offer any answers. They just agree there are things flying around that even they cannot identify. Like, we knew that. I guess it's just the fact they've acknowledged it now, right?
Exactly. That's the most important thing to take away from this episode, is that the government's no longer stigmatizing it, and it leaves more doors open for people to talk about it.
We acknowledge your shitty pancakes. They go on to say in the report, most of the UAP reported probably do represent physical objects, given that a majority of UAP were registered across multiple sensors, to include radar, infrared, electro-optical, weapon seekers, and visual observation.
They go on, in a limited number of incidents, UAP reportedly appeared to exhibit unusual flight characteristics. These observations could be the result of sensor errors, spoofing, or observer misperception, and require additional rigorous analysis.
Rigorous anal? I love rigorous anal.
Rigorous analysis. Our analysis of the data supports the construct that if and when individual UAP incidents are resolved, they will fall into one of five potential explanatory categories. Airborne clutter, natural atmospheric phenomena, USG or US industry developmental programs, foreign adversary systems, and a catch-all other bin.
Airborne clutter? The fuck is airborne clutter? Shit doesn't just fly around inside Earth's atmosphere. Like, would this explain where all the lost socks go?
And the lost keys. No, they might be talking about, like, when you're flying in an airplane and you flush the toilet and the shit just goes flying out into the sky. That's what happens, right? The shit just goes flying into the sky, right?
Oh, in a plane?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't hear that bit. I was like, what the fuck toilet are you flushing that shit just goes flying out into the sky?
In an airplane, yeah.
It's like, I had no idea. I should watch the back of our house sometime. It's like, take a shit and flush it, and it's like,
nope.
Off it goes, up into the sky.
Airborne clutter could also include balloons that are released or kites that are lost.
Ah, no, that actually makes a lot more sense than, like, shitty pancakes. No, look at you. Look at your bit all fucking smart. Because I read this and I was like, what the fuck is airborne clutter?
Yeah.
But really, like, they had to fucking make a whole ass category for, like, kids who lost their balloons.
That's the thing.
Good,
like,
God.
All the fucking gender reveals where they fucking, or like when somebody dies and they put balloons up in the sky.
Who does that?
Americans.
What, they just like float off a bunch of black balloons into the sky?
Yeah. Or those paper lanterns.
Oh, the lanterns are cool though. I like those. They land on people's houses and start fires and stuff. Those are good times.
We digress. So, and then they go on to explain how UAP can cause problems with the military and civilian airspaces.
Yeah, particularly the clutter, I suppose.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All the poop and the balloons.
Yeah. My shits that get launched from the back of my house when I flush. The report also states that in March of 2019, the US Navy implemented a standard reporting mechanism involving UAP. Until then, they never had any solid structure when it comes to the whole matter. But this reporting was limited to just naval sightings. So what the government wants now is for the rest of the military to feel comfortable reporting any UAP without the stigma. Basically, they're saying, hey, just because you saw a triangle flying around in the sky doing erratic flight patterns and flashing blurple lights at you, it doesn't mean that it's an alien. It could be Russia, so report it.
The UAPTF focused on reports that involved UAP largely witnessed firsthand by military aviators and that were collected from systems we considered to be reliable. These reports describe incidents that occurred between 2004 and 2021, with the majority coming in the last 2 years as the new reporting mechanism became better. So out of hundreds of official reports on UAPs, they were only able to positively identify one. And it was simply stated to be a large deflating balloon.
Oh, I didn't know your mum was into skydiving.
Knock, knock.
He's there.
1992.
Why?
Because we want our fucking your mom jokes back, bro. All of the hundreds of other official reports between 2004 and 2021 remain unexplained to this day. And they go on to say that there would absolutely be hundreds of more reports, but the issue has been so stigmatized that people in the military And even civilians don't risk reporting sightings of UAPs because they are afraid of damaging their reputations.
So yeah, that complicates things a lot. You can't possibly draw a scientific conclusion to anything with insufficient data. So yeah, the government of the United States is finally telling everyone that if you see something in the sky, say something.
Because it's definitely not an alien. It might be the Russians.
Russians!
So yeah, at Seven Circles we like to talk about weird, true shit that happens on this planet. UAPs are real. This is a fact. Let's talk about MUFON.
Mothers used for oral nookie?
No, this is... What? Oh dear. I'm sorry.
You mean what? Is that what MUFON stands for?
No, it stands for massively humongous frontal orbital nugs.
Okay, but humongous has an H.
It's humongous.
Okay.
It's a new word.
Nugs or nubs?
Nugs.
Because my frontal nub is definitely humongous.
Okay, so actually, this is an organization called the Mutual UFO Network. It costs money to join. It's like a $50 per year membership to get full access to their site. Members-only access includes reporting UFOs. There are two other memberships that each cost more, and you get more access at each level.
So $50 does not get you full access to their site. You totally lied.
Well, I mean, it's weird. I guess if I was regularly getting abducted, I would want these guys to help me out, so I would definitely shell out that VIP price of $300 a year to join.
Ooh, yeah! These are like the cool nerdy folks who turn up in movies with their gizmos and their doodads to help us normie folks when weird things occur.
Yeah, exactly. But you gotta pay them a bunch of fucking money.
Yeah, but I love those guys. That's like the who was that dude in the fucking 80s movies all the time with the glasses? And he was always in movies with another kid and they both had the same first name in real life.
Oh my god, I have no
idea. They were
in
the two kids in The Lost Boys. The ones who kept getting raped by all the directors.
Oh no! That's for another story. Coming soon.
They didn't.
Corey Feldman and Corey Haim.
Yeah, the Coreys.
Yeah, the Coreys.
Yeah, we love those guys. It's so sad that they like...
Corey Haim's dead. And Corey Feldman is like Michael Jackson reincarnated, but worse.
What?
Look at
how is Corey Feldman a pedophile?
No, I'm not saying
how
he's
can
a
you
pedo.
Say that?
I'm not saying he's a pedo.
What
I'm just
then?
Saying, go look at his music video with the angels and shit. Like,
oh,
bad.
Okay, no, okay? I don't need to do that. Corey Feldman's a fucking legend, man. I will say nothing bad about him.
He was a legend.
He still is, and it's not his fault that they both got drugged and raped by fucking...
Okay, stop with the R word.
Not Zuckerberg, who was that other? Yeah, he's the Jewish director who got put in jail.
I don't know.
Yeah, that guy, the big fat fella.
Okay, you're going on a tangent.
Yeah, but Corey!
Okay. So, back on track. Among their board of directors, we have Bob Spearing, who has a BA in communications, a scuba dive instructor called Debbie Ziegelmeyer, a former professional baseball player called George Medich, a filmmaker called Ron James, and a former construction worker called Stephen Hudgens.
Isn't it sad that the best any of them could muster is a bachelor's degree in communications? And yet I'd feel safer in an alien-related situation with the former baseball player or the scuba dive instructor.
So the funny thing is, the scuba diver instructor is actually, like, in charge of the underwater alien stuff.
Oh, the underwater aliens. Yeah, you gotta watch out for those motherfuckers. Good God.
I mean, it's entirely possible that there is alien wreckage underneath the ocean.
And also dolphins and octopi. We've covered this. What's the rule for that again?
Octopi.
Is it though?
It's octopi.
Anywho, isn't that dude from Blink-182 in this? He must be, surely. In fact, wasn't he in part the impetus for this whole government agency coming out?
I don't know what you're talking about. Blink-182? What?
Are you actually fucking kidding me? You did this whole episode and you did not... about DeLong.
So I heard somebody in one YouTube video mention him, but I don't know, like...
Okay, so, like, years ago, Blink-182 did a song about the fact that aliens are real, and DeLong actually left the band to go and, like, pursue his whole research of aliens.
He did?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Massively into this. And it was him and a bunch of stuff that he came out with and his findings that actually made the government turn around and say, yeah, okay, this agency actually exists.
Really?
Yes.
Like this specific agency we're talking about?
This specific agency that we're talking about.
Oh.
So they came out because he was like, hey, the Pentagon is setting up this agency because of these findings.
Okay.
And they were like, fuck, yeah, shit. They found us out, so they admitted it.
Interesting. Yeah, I did not know that.
And he actually now works with them.
He works with the government?
He works alongside former intelligence officials to uncover information about unidentified aerial phenomena and helped expose the Pentagon's mysterious UAP task force all the way back in 2017.
Holy shit. So yeah, the board of directors is kind of weird, but it makes sense. There is a whole history of the organization on their website, but I'm not going to bore you with more history. This is what's interesting about the website. Even if you're not a member, you can see reports from members of the last 20 UFO sightings. At the time of my writing this, here are some of the reports, all submitted June 6, 2022.
It should be noted that while these reports were submitted on June 6, 2022, they may be of historical things that people saw back in the day or in the past. So, on May 20th, 2020, there was a double ring entity floating in the sky in Dubai. On June 5th, 2022, someone in Jackson, New Jersey, saw an unusual bright orange light in the sky and started videoing. We couldn't find this video on the internet, though. On June 4th, 2022, someone in Warren, Massachusetts, saw a hovering disc-shaped pulsating light.
That's a noise a pulsating light makes.
Everyone knows that.
Uh-huh.
There were more reports. Not as interesting. But if you go look at it today, it might be interesting. Who knows? It changes every day. So I went to YouTube and searched around for reports from this year. And this is what I found. Last February, in Bakersfield, California, a man sent video from his Ring camera of a UAP. If you don't know what a Ring camera is, it's a little doorbell camera that everyone should have by now. They are so important to have, and they are very affordable.
Why don't you have one, Autumn?
Because we live in Idaho, and nobody cares.
Are we getting sponsored by Ring?
No, but we should.
But they're so important, and they're very affordable.
He sent this video to the local news station and alerted the government. So in this short clip, you see a white pill-shaped UAP dashing from the top right side of the frame down to the lower left side and then out of sight. The UAP leaves a weird smoke trail pattern that looks like a chain link in its wake. I couldn't really find anything else from this year on YouTube, unfortunately. All of the current news is saturated with the Congress hearing of the UAPs. But if you just Google UFO or UAP sightings, there are a bunch. And I have decided at this point in the episode that I don't want to describe any more of them. Instead, let's talk about aliens! Just kidding. I don't want to do that. That's not why we are here today. Aliens scare the crap out of me. Not much on this planet bothers me or gives me nightmares. But shit from another planet? I'll tell you what. I don't even really have nightmares anymore. We have talked about this in a previous episode, but I used to have vivid nightmares and night terrors. But I just stopped having them. Until I started doing research for this episode, it wasn't that bad. I woke up from it kind of gasping for air, and it took me a few minutes to shake it off before I could fall asleep. But fucking aliens, man! They do it for me every time.
It wasn't a bad dream and you woke up gasping for air? Fucking aliens? They do it for you every time? I didn't realize this was your kink. But if you want, no. I can paint myself gray and get some gloves with creepy long fingers to caress you with.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I caress you with my alien fingers.
Don't do that. Nah, don't do that. Nah, I hate it.
Ah, in your mouth. Why? You don't bite shit when I put it in your mouth. That's not how this works.
If an alien stuck their nasty fucking fingers in my mouth, I would definitely bite their nasty fingers. Fucking fuck.
No, man, you gotta do like David Parker Ray says. You don't bite it or I'll cut your tits off.
No! Fuck that guy.
You wanna fuck him now?
No,
too?
No.
Oh my god, your kinks are coming out today. Aliens and David Parker Ray. You're a dirty little girl.
Your mom.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
1993.
Why?
They want their mom jokes back.
We made it to the end. The government has not come out and said that aliens are real. Not yet. But they are taking the steps toward that eventual release of more information. And it's gonna happen. They admitted that UAPs are real.
Whaps.
So they gotta have a pilot, right? Those things are not just coming here on their own. Unless they are alien drones. Or Russian drones.
I mean, if you're an alien race observing humankind and you wanted to get a closer look, would you fly down here? Have you seen us? I'd definitely be sending a drone from a safe distance.
For real. That's all I got for episode 16. You're welcome.
UAPs are real. Unidentified aerial phenomena. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
If you like us, you can come support us on Patreon at Seven Circles Pod.
We are an indie podcast, and without your support, we would not be able to do this thing that we love.
Everything was written, produced, edited, and mixed by us, Autumn and Dan.
Thanks to Caroline Gates for the artwork and Null Machine for the music. If you have anything to say to us about this episode, come say hi to us on the social medias.
We are currently on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for Seven Circles Podcast. That's the number seven, not the word, plus circles, like the shapes.
The human world, it's a bore. Everybody's working all the time. It's a chore. No one understands what I know, that this planet's not for me. Oh, don't you see? Oh, that I wish I was an alien. That's what I want to be, an alien. That's what I want to be, an aliens, that's what we want to be. Aliens, that's what we want to be. Horns go toot toot.
They're coming for your butthole, Papaw.
No, not my precious, beautiful butthole.
Come here, Papaw, I'll spit on it.